This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
Some really big weekends ahead for the big four that we talk about with the Buffs, Bears, Rams, and the Broncos. And I mean, it doesn't get any bigger for what Colorado State has. The pressure's still not on UNC. Although I expect them to win, and I'll get my official picks against the spread, all that stuff. We're doing everything against the spread now. I mean, that's the way it is. You just can't pick wins and losses. Buffs going up against Texas A&M. What are they, 17-point dogs in that one? So, I mean, what are your expectations? CSU? Yeah. The expectations, and it's strange to say this, it's an SEC school, but the expectations should be to win this game against Vanderbilt. Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kelly, if last week was a must-win game, what do you call this one this weekend against Vanderbilt?
I'm not sure how much more must-win you can get than we were last week. But yeah, this is and you know, interestingly enough, these are two teams that are both coming off losses to FCS opponents. So it's certainly whoever loses this game is going to have a very very long season ahead of them. And winning doesn't mean you're good, but it at least maybe gives you a little bit of hope and some confidence moving forward. I think whoever loses this game, boy, it's going to be really tough to figure out where else you might get a win this season for either one of them.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the terrifying thing, isn't it? I mean, Rams fans, I mean, you're desperate for a win, but you got to think they're wanting to win by a few touchdowns here to feel a little bit better about the upcoming schedule, because at Toledo, at Iowa, San Jose State, right off the bat, I mean, those are the next three after Vanderbilt. So it's about to get more complicated for CSU.
Yeah, it certainly is. And also, we just haven't seen a whole lot of production out of the offense. So putting some points on the board would be fairly significant, if for nothing else than just to show us they can score. I don't care if it's passing the ball, running the ball, whatever it is. You know, the pass game struggled last week, so Steve Adazio says they're going to emphasize the run game more. It doesn't matter what it is. Somehow, some way, they got to figure out a way to move the ball down the field, get some first downs, and put some points on the board.
So last week, yeah, talk to us about, okay, they passed. Todd threw for 300 yards. He missed an open Dante Wright downfield, which could have been really interesting for the Rams. But, you know, I mean, if you were skeptical about Todd, you're at least thinking, all right, he can throw when he has to. But we were all expecting this team to be a rushing team. What's this, Kelly, that we're hearing with Coach Adazio saying, hey, offensive linemen were just going the opposite direction of the run call? What's happening there?
Well, that's a good question, and he makes it sound like these are simple, easy things to fix, and then he talks about offensive linemen going the wrong way. Those are major, major issues. Those are not, you know, a simple fix in how a guy takes his first step firing off the line of scrimmage in the run game. These guys don't know the playbook, and that's a major problem. Your O-line, this is a veteran O-line at this point. These are guys that should be better than that, frankly. And if the offense is so complicated that they don't know what way they're supposed to go because of the, you know, pre-snap reads or whatever, or audibles that are being called at the line of scrimmage, then they need to simplify things to find a way to just function, because they did not look good. That was a bad, bad offensive line against South Dakota State. And, you know, Vanderbilt's not good, but I'll bet their D-line's going to be better than South Dakota State's was.
Yeah, no, you're exactly right. I mean, that when I hear that, I just hear, wow. I mean, you know, you expect that maybe one guy messed up or they were having an issue hearing, getting the calls in or something. But they're really, after that, Kelly, it just doesn't seem like there was much of an explanation. Just guys were going the wrong way. I mean, that's got to be pretty darn concerning if you're a Rams fan.
Yeah, especially since this is what Steve Adazio is known for, is he is an O-line coach by trade. His son Louie is the O-line coach. Steve makes no secret of the fact that he is in a whole lot of the O-line position group meetings. So this, if anything, the O-line should, you would think, be the least of their concerns on a Steve Adazio coach team. And that's what's puzzling to me. You know, three of these guys were starters last year. The others have started elsewhere at other schools. These are guys that should be better than they are showing right now. And that's why, you know, maybe they've made things too complicated. Maybe they're putting too much on their shoulders. I don't know. To me, you know, I was an O-lineman and a D-lineman myself way back in when I played high school football. And run blocking is, it should be simple. You just fire off the line and knock your guy off the ball. If you overcomplicate it, you're asking for trouble, and I think that's what they may have done.
Yeah, it happens in football a lot. Sometimes you just see that with whether it's a new quarterback, a new coach, a new group of linemen, or whatever. You overcomplicate things, trying to make things a little too tricky. When you're right, that's what we were kind of expecting with Adazio was, hey, he's the king of the trenches. D-line, O-line. D-line struggled as well. South Dakota State, I mean, they were running all over the place. Pierre Strong Jr., I was averaging 10 yards a carry. That's just a first down every time he looks at the football.
Yeah, I mean, I was stunned that the line play on both sides was not better. That was the one thing I thought we would see about this team. I was worried, again, like you said, about the passing game and whether Centeio could get the ball off, you know, other things. I really thought that the O and D line would look like they were, you know, solid units, and they clearly are not. And the D-line is even, in some ways, even more puzzling because it was a really good D-line last year with the same players and the same coaching staff. So I'm not sure what went wrong. I don't know if maybe they just didn't put enough emphasis on it because they thought we were good at this last year. We don't have to practice it getting ready for this year or what. But that was shocking that those guys, Manny Jones, Scott Patchen, Ellison Hubbard, Devin Phillips, that those guys weren't better. You know, Toby McBride was out at time, and so obviously they hope to get him back. That could make a difference, but the problems were deeper than missing one guy.
Yeah, that's the thing. You're exactly right. It seemed other things that I had question marks. And I wasn't really concerned about Dante Wright. I was more or less concerned how they'd use him. Well, he walked away with 100 yards. Trey McBride did exactly what he was supposed to do. A big monster game for him. But I was just thinking, you know, the trenches. This team's going to win nitty gritty. They're going to, you know, get 3 yards here, 5 yards there, another 6 yards, whatever. They just keep rolling down the field. They lose 42-23. So it's not just the loss. You know, we were talking to Jesse Kirch yesterday, the Mountain West Network, it's not just the loss, it's the way you lost, too. I mean, losing by 19 points, and we're thinking this is finally the year the CSU defense gets back on track. He gave up 42 to an FCS school.
Yeah, and a lot of the stats, you know, Steve Adazio, he spent a lot of time post-game talking about, well, the stats, you know, we had about as many yards as they did, about as many. No, not really, because most of CSU's offense showed up in garbage time in the fourth quarter when the game was already out of reach. That's not statistically relevant to say that we had as many yards on the ground as they did, or as many, well, the ground wasn't, but as many total offense, as many first downs, because they had already won the game by the point CSU was putting up some of those numbers late in the game. So when the game was on the line, South Dakota State dominated in pretty much every statistical category there was. You know, the fact that Trey McBride had that's great. Trey McBride is a phenomenal player, but, you know, you got to find somebody else. You've got to find more offense than a tight end or a receiver, Dante Wright. Those two guys are good, but they're not good enough to win football games single-handedly for you.
Kelly Lyle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And I look at the numbers. I look at the passing numbers, 338. I look at the rushing numbers, 124. If you would have just thrown those two versions of numbers at me, I would have said, oh, well, they're going to go crazy. They're more likely to run for 338 yards. And Toddy throws 124 because he's just careful with the football. But it was the opposite of what we've been talking about. And I think that's what's blowing everybody's mind. But Coach Adazio saying, don't expect that again. We're going to, what, 60-40. We are going to run. If it kills us, this team will be putting the ball on the ground.
Yeah, and, you know, we hear that all the time, though. How many times did Mike Bobo say that? How
right.
many times did Steve Fairchild say that? I mean, it's Colorado State fans are sick of hearing that kind of stuff. Because they want to see it in action. And really, with the exception of a couple years under Jim McElwain, they haven't seen it since Sonny Lubick's heyday. And that's the thing that's got to be really depressing if you're a Rams fan, is like, you know, stop telling me you're going to be a big, physical, powerful, run-the-ball team and actually go out and do it. And I just don't think it's been done. David Bailey looks like the kind of running back you want for that type of offense. Marcus McElroy is the kind of running back you want for that type of offense. But they got to have some blocking. They've got to have – and they've also got to have some play calling that is just a lot less predictable. That's the other thing is, you know, South Dakota State was putting nine guys in the box on first and second down because they knew the Rams weren't going to do anything but try to run the ball up the middle. And sure enough, they stopped them over and over. Then it gets to third and long. You go into your pass defense, and sure, you can give up the eight-yard pass to Trey McBride because it's third and 11, and you're still going to force them to punt. And I feel like every team in the country is going to play Colorado State that way until they show that they are a threat to maybe pass a little more often on first down, maybe try some outside runs, maybe be a little bit more creative and less predictable on offense.
Well, Rams fans have certainly pressed that panic button, and we'll see what happens on Saturday night. Kelly, do you expect a similar turnout? Are fans already burnt out here? I know it's an hour later, but with the lightning delay, it might work out to be close to the same time. Do you see the turnout that we saw last week? Are fans coming out pumped up, ready to see this Rams team try to get back on the right track?
Well, you know, I think we'll see a good turnout because it's an SEC team. It's Vanderbilt. There's a lot of Vanderbilt connections of people out in this part of the country. This is a chance for them to go see their team and, frankly, a chance for them going into the season in what they probably think is one of their most winnable games on their schedule. So I do think that some of that, you know, we won't have the first game enthusiasm of last week, but I think it'll still be strong. It's Ag Day. It's an orange out. Ag Day and orange outs always bring a little bit of extra energy, a little bit extra in the crowds. The big question is going to be what the Rams do to get those fans to actually stay and want to cheer on this team moving forward. Because, you couldn't have asked for a better student turnout, better student support than they got in that opening game. But we know from history, CSU fans in general and students in particular are fickle. When the Rams win, they pack the place. When they're losing, they find better things to do on a Saturday night.
Yeah, we've said it for years, Kelly. This is the state of Colorado, and outside the Broncos, if there's, if your team's not giving you a production, they will find something to do, day or night. That's the beauty of the state. It's a blessing and a curse, I suppose, if you're a college football team. Kelly, what are you working on for us, man? As we try to turn the page, see if CSU can get back to a 500 record before this schedule gets really difficult in the next few weeks.
Well, I'm working on a lot of different stories, some of them non-CSU related. Just put a story, posted one online today about actually a special needs student manager that Fossil Ridge High School's program has been rallying around, Scout Greaves. He's back home now and hopefully on the mend, but the support he's gotten is tremendous. Also reaching out to some other different things, some CSU volleyball stuff and other things at the moment. So a couple things fell through today, so I can't make any promises for what I'll have moving forward, but there'll be some stuff coming soon.
All right, man. Well, we'll keep our eyes peeled. Love checking out the Coloradoan for CSU, for anything related, especially sports related. Appreciate you, Kelly. We'll catch up with you next Thursday.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
CSU lost 42-23. It's time to turn the page as you've got Vanderbilt. And listen, Rams fans won't quickly just be like, oh, we're back on the right track. We're good. That win will be thank goodness we at least got that one. That's what that'll be. If you beat Toledo next week, then you start going, okay, maybe the South Dakota State thing was just that team was that flat out good. But this game this weekend is what you call a sigh of relief game. But you're right back on in the pressure cooker when you go up against Toledo. 10 minutes until the top of the hour. Got a lot to get to yet. Broncos, Giants, continuing our preview as we're approaching Big Sunday for Denver. Again, KFKA is now your Northern Colorado home for all things Broncos games coming up on Sundays, and that's going to be fantastic. We'll talk to Brian Howell as the Buffs get set to prepare for Texas A&M. Can they make this a game? The spread doesn't like the Buffs, but who knows? Then we got our Thursday night special. It's going to be fantastic. This is The Whole Show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We'll be right back.
Catch the Ellison Hubbard Show, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Mondays at 1 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.